and thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dallala.
What's good, Phil?
Yeah, what's happening, man? What's up? What's up, dude?
The tone.
Dude, you got a nice QZ on today.
Dude, you have a nice QZ on today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Swanson, good flannel.
Yeah.
Back of my bleep.
At Denver Broncos, joining us here in the studio. Swanson, the beard came in handy this week, huh?
Oh, yeah. The snow.
Yeah.
Nice and warm, just like the flannel.
Got your paper towels and your axe?
Yep.
Yep. You're ready to go.
Where's your ox?
Yeah. Man,
ox would have been handy. Although the roads were fine.
No, the roads are
ox fine. Cord. That's ox what you cord, got.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Pretty nice. We got a great episode.
Naturally.
NZ Nation.
You think this one will be an hour and 45 minutes?
People like that, I heard.
I did hear
feedback,
that.
Feedback, positive. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, no, that's what...
For that classic
mega,
nearly two-hour...
Mega. Mega ep.
Mega.
Mega. That's like three commutes, three, four, you know? So yeah. It's,
or it depends really where you're commuting
settle
to.
Settle in, really, you know?
You're trying to commute this morning, just one commute.
Yeah, exactly, with the snow. Yeah, I don't think we'll go quite as long this time.
I-70 closed down. Maybe not even half of that commute.
Last week, we were just so pumped up about Jim Harbaugh. We just couldn't handle ourselves.
You just every other second, Jim, Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, now it seems like...
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
You never say never.
You never say never.
Some weird things going on over in Michigan.
At Michigan, yeah. Strange times.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the president of a university like just being so enthusiastic about Jim Harbaugh? You should be like... Like nervous about like, or not nervous, but like more like you should be like excited about what's happening over in the business school.
Well, you don't know
what's going on.
The president is not excited about that. You've just seen one tweet, probably.
That is true. I never heard of it.
You've never heard him before.
Yeah, fact check. True. This seems, normally I'm getting that news from Schefter. This time it was the president at Michigan.
Yep.
Santa Ono.
I enjoyed, that in the statement that he put out, the statement was in the copy of the tweet and then also in the quote graphic. Yeah. Really nice to have it the same thing in both places.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't matter to me.
Good.
I just want the info.
Yeah.
I'm here for the info.
And then Jim, he said, don't, something about happy, don't out happy happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talking about the elephant?
They were in a hurry to get
that's
that
a throwback.
Out. You know?
Yeah.
So, but now we're moving on.
Moving on.
The NZ.
So you think no chance?
I don't know. Well, never say never.
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing about this Broncos ownership group
back
is that
truck
if they,
up.
Yeah, I mean, if they want somebody,
yeah,
they get them.
Like you noticed that Swanson coming back on the podcast kind of coincided with the ownership change.
Yeah.
They wanted Swanson on the podcast.
They said.
So he's on the podcast.
We're tight.
I don't know how much that costs.
We're really close.
You know? You don't want to know.
Because before we couldn't afford Swanson.
No.
They lured me back in, we're friends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How much, Swanson?
I've even tell us. Friendship.
Tell us.
The friendship.
Adjust the friendship.
Yeah.
Tell us how much.
You think Phil and I do this for the friendship?
You're my everything, man.
Yeah, that's true.
My everything. It's more than a friendship. You know, it's just, it's everything.
I was reading a book recently.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just under my desk after everyone had left the office. And it was about it was fiction.
I guess.
It was fiction, but it was about this young woman who escapes from Poland during World War II to America and like finds her love that is that she's been separated from during the war.
He was already here?
No, they were both in Poland, but they got separated.
While they were escaping.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, got it.
But throughout the book, he calls her my everything.
Oh.
I really enjoyed that.
You connected with that part?
Yeah.
Good, nice story there.
Thank you.
Thanks when was this book written? Were y'all the inspiration?
I don't know.
Yeah, they listen to Neutral Zone.
Yeah. I think it was called The Things We Cannot Say, in case anyone wants to listen.
Well, we say my everything.
That's true.
Kelly Rimmer, if you're out there, shout out.
Yeah. We just shout outs later in the show, Swanson.
Good book. I didn't want to really nice book.
Yeah. So why don't we update everybody on what's going on with the Broncos coaching search?
Yeah, as of Thursday morning.
Everything we know at the time of recording this, we'll let you know. and we'll offer some thoughts on it.
Some analysis.
You know, from all reports, it seemed like the Broncos meeting with Sean Payton went really well. So
you sounded a little bit unsure as you were saying that.
No, I'm saying it by all accounts, it went really well. Mm-hmm. Talk about what that situation could look like moving forward. What would it take from having an initial meeting and an interview and then to him being the next head coach for the Broncos? What would it take? What's going to have to happen? And then also maybe some under the radar guys.
Whoa. Eric,
what do you think?
Have they risen to the radar?
I think they're on the radar now.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So some on the radar guys.
They were under the radar. Now they're on the radar.
Well, we probably should have talked about them being under the radar when they were under the radar.
I think that would have been a really good idea.
Wish you would have thought of it.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. Now they're on the radar. Everybody knows about it. But before, it would have been nice because they would have been under the radar. We would have been the only ones talking about it.
Now they're on the radar. Everybody's talking about it.
They've always sort of been on my radar.
What's above on the radar? Or are there just two?
There's under? Radar. Yeah, you're either on or under.
It doesn't really, it seems like you could be above the radar then, right?
No.
Well, if you could be under something.
Under the radar, on the radar is above the radar.
What?
Yeah, because you're like, nothing is like.
If you're under the chair, then you're under it. If you're sitting on the chair, then you're on the chair.
I'm above the chair. When I sit on a chair, I'm above the chair. What are you talking about?
I'm not above the chair.
I'm above the chair. I'm not under the chair. I'm above it.
No, you're not. You're on the chair.
What are you talking about? The chair is under me, therefore I'm above it.
The back of the chair is under you?
I'm not. Yeah, I'm on top of the chair.
Yeah, on top. On.
Above.
On.
I'm above the chair. I'm not below it, so I'm above it.
You can be just equal. Kinda, you can be equal.
It's kind of like
it.
I'm above this conversation.
No, you're not.
I actually do like conversations.
Watson, what do you think?
That's true. So we'll talk about some above the rate. I don't know how you want to talk about. We're going to talk about Dan Quinn and David Shaw maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just say we'll talk about those two guys.
Yep.
Anybody else you think we should throw into that? Or do you think
Raheem Morris has been getting a little bit of love?
Where do you think the line is for the radar?
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Well, yeah, I think those three guys.
Okay.
Peyton.
Yeah. Quinn.
Quinn.
Shaw.
Shaw. You want to talk about Jim just for old time's sake?
My guy, Jim?
Yeah.
I think he's all of our guys. All ours guy.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Who's got a better pod than us? Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. You were saying that last week.
That could have been our tagline.
Fired up. You were walking around. You're like,
dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. If you'd like to let us know what you think about chairs and radars and stuff like that, Eric, how can people get involved in the show?
You can leave us an email at neutralzoneshow@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. Really, or you can leave a voicemail at 707-NEUTRAL and get in touch with us on Twitter at Eric DeLalla with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH.
Non-traditional
spellings.
Traditional spelling, Denver Broncos.
Traditional spelling, your dog, Javi. It's true.
Yeah. Javi. As in, like, just like Javier.
Doxing your dog. Okay.
No, it's not a dachshund.
No, it's not. Any other ways?
Good, huh?
Yeah, that was good. That was nice. We like that kind of joke.
Or, Phil, you could leave a comment on YouTube.
Yes.
We'll read it right here on the air.
What a coincidence. I've got some pulled up right here.
Let's hear it.
Let's go. Andy Marino 79.
You think that's Dan's son?
Andy Marino 79.
If you rearrange that, it's Danny Marino 79.
What do you think?
Oh,
I don't know. They say, can you guys stop flirting and allow Swanson to at least feel loved?
Okay. Thank you.
I got to stop reacting to the usernames before I hear whatever nonsense.
Yeah, is that, I don't think that's Danny Marino. Jeez.
Hey, Andy.
It's qualms he's thinking of. Qualms. Qualms.
We came up with that as we were walking out. Who said that?
As soon as we stopped, that is Dominic Cavazos. Dominic Cavazos.
Thank you, Dominic. We try to just humor Phil when we can.
Thank you, Dominic. Robbie Patzer. Robbie Patser.
I think it's...
You got a comment, Eric?
No.
Oh, you started and then you thought better, huh?
Yeah.
So like, I don't want to go down that road.
I saw the exit ramp and I said, I'm going to stay
on lanes, but you stayed on.
Stay on the highway.
Yep. Last time I commented, I was mean to Ben. Ben's all right. Thumbs up emoji.
Perfect. I'm all right.
You're all
right. I'm fine.
All right. So this is from Darren Tadlock. Swanson is watching Left Behind on his laptop. Left Behind. I don't know what that is. Maybe a movie because we made that joke last
time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then since Swanson never has any idea what's going on the show, he's sort of just left behind.
Last Onion.
A lot of Swanson comments.
Yeah. What's happening?
I think they identify with me not paying attention.
Wow.
Eli Lozano. Fast forward 20 minutes. Highly recommended. Glad these guys only do a sports podcast.
What?
I don't.
What does that mean?
I don't think they like the intro. They don't like the introduction. I don't.
No, we do. Should we not do news or entertainment?
I don't. We try to be someone entertaining.
Yeah.
Patrick Colborn, when Eric, spelled A-R-I-C-K.
Gosh.
Very close.
Intentional.
Very close. When Eric said, quote, Trevor Lawrence is kind of a bust.
What?
I never said that.
Fact check then, wrong.
Trevor Lawrence, hold my hair tie. So, some good comments.
I think if you listen to the show carefully, I said that the Jags were going to have a miraculous comeback and that Trevor was going to look amazing. Yeah.
That's when you photoshopped that text message you
traded? That was 1 hour and 43 minutes into the show, so maybe he didn't make it.
Maybe he didn't listen. Well, that's funny you mentioned that because Cindy. Can you use it in a sentence? Cindy left a comment. It's like the spelling bee.
Yeah, I get it. I don't understand.
Say it one more time. Sydney.
Wait, you just said Sydney.
Cindy.
What is going on?
What did you do before you came into the studio?
That's like the spelling bee.
I know, but then you said a different word.
No, I didn't. Cindy.
Yeah. All right.
Bill was laughing at his joke.
What does Sydney have to say?
1 hour and 47 minute neutral zone show. Let's go. And it's not even my birthday. It keeps going. Enjoyed this during my nightly skincare routine. I like to multitask. Even though the Broncos games are done for the season, thanks for continuing to keep the fans informed, excited for what's next.
That's a long skincare routine.
That is. Well,
imagine us taking
as long as yours. You got really nice skin.
That's my hair routine.
Hair routine. In routine. Your hair is really nice right now, I will say.
Thank you.
Among the best.
I appreciate that.
Got a good coif to it.
Thank you. I blew dry? And I blow dry? I don't know. What's the past tense there? I use the hair dryer for extra dry hair.
I think qualm is what you're looking for.
Coif?
Quip?
Quip? Okay, let's get into our first topic here on this episode and talking about Sean Payton. The Broncos have interviewed with him this week. And they interviewed him. They have been known to interview with him earlier this week.
They interviewed him. They didn't interview with him.
Yeah, they interviewed him.
Yeah.
They interviewed him.
Do you understand the difference?
They had a meeting with him.
No, an interview is fine, but they didn't interview with him. He interviewed with the Broncos.
Yeah. But therefore, they interviewed with him, too. Right? See? Kind of makes you think a little bit. Anyway, it reportedly went well.
What's wrong with you today? Yeah, it did reportedly go well.
And so one would think that now that Jim Harbaugh is no longer in the mix, that Sean Payton would be the top guy just based off of his past, his history, Super Bowl winning head coach. Eric, I'm wondering, where do you think things stand with Sean Payton right now? What are the Broncos having to consider right now before moving forward? And what does moving forward look like?
I mean, that's a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's going to be a long little segment.
Got to keep that all straight in my head. Well, I think I saw a tweet from Mark Maskey, mm-hmm. who, of course, works for the Washington Post. And he said that it appears that Sean Payton is, he favors Denver. They're kind of the leading team for him. I think Tom Pelissero said that it sounds like if Denver wants Sean Payton, that's something that can happen. We've seen he's willing to work with Russell Wilson. So all those things line up nicely. I think now you've got to determine if you're the Broncos, one, is this the guy that you want? And a lot of reports out there suggesting he's the favorite. I think there's an assumption that the Broncos want him, but we just don't know at this point. The Broncos still have a couple of interviews to do here. I believe D'Amico Ryans and Dan Quinn still left to interview. And so the Broncos, first of all, have to decide, is Sean Payton your guy? And I don't think that's necessarily settled yet. They could have an inkling, but Mike Kliss reported that they're going to have some more guys in here next week, 1 to 3 finalists. So there's going to be a second conversation of sorts. Of course, Phil, we know last year when the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett, they planned to bring in 3 finalists. They only brought in 1, and obviously it didn't work out. And so I wonder if that makes Greg Penner a little more likely to bring in multiple people to the building for visits.
He wasn't part of that process last year.
Of course. And they might just say, hey, we've got our guy, we're going to move forward. But when I'm sure he's heard about how that process went and talked with George Payton. And if he heard, hey, we brought in Nathaniel, maybe we wish we would have, brought in Dan Quinn for a second visit or Kevin O'Connell for a second visit. Maybe Greg Penner is just, you have to balance here, right? With a coaching search, patience versus in getting as much information as you can versus pulling the trigger when you know, so you don't lose out on your guy. And I think part of the reason the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett when they did last year is because there were rumors of him going to Jacksonville. The Broncos were maybe a little bit worried they were going to lose Nathaniel Hackett. They pulled the trigger, but you've got to balance that.
Yeah, and also maybe you're like, this is our guy.
Yeah.
We want this guy, and then so you just do it.
But if if there's no danger of losing that person, maybe you just take a few extra days
and
go through the process. And obviously if there's not as many vacancies this year, which I think helps the Broncos. Last year there were 9 vacancies. This year I believe there's 5. I don't know that there's a great job out there or like a job that stands above all the rest. I mean, some places, a lot of media outlets view the Broncos as that best mm-hmm. possible option. But it's not like you're worried about, especially if it's Sean Payton, he's got to also decide he wants to go somewhere. And so I don't think he's going to be like, oh, well, the Broncos are taking a few extra days. I'm going to go to Carolina instead, or I'm going to go to Houston instead.
I think if anything, based off of like the reporting that I read or paying attention to, I would say that right now with Sean Payton, it's either he's going to come and be the Broncos' next head coach or he's going to go back to TV. Oh. That's sort of where it feels like he stands right now.
Interesting.
That's where I sort of feel from his perspective it is. And the other thing that's sort of been interesting about this is that Sean is in the media, and so he's talked about what's going on the Fox pregame show. He's talked about it with Colin Cowherd. One of the things he talked about with Cowherd the other day was, hey, the most important thing to me is the ownership group.
Yep.
And I think that if you're looking at it from that perspective, then this Broncos job is really desirable. You have the wealthiest owners in sports. You've heard from this ownership group saying that winning is really important to them. They'll provide all the resources necessary. I mean, if you're a coach who thinks that that's the most important thing, then what would be better than this job?
Who's got it better than the Broncos? Yeah,
nobody. I mean, that's sort of how I'm viewing it. And so it seems like the other thing that the Broncos have to consider here is, are they willing to make this trade?
Right.
Because the other coaches, of course, you can just sign them and agree to the deal and they'll be the head coach. In this situation, they've got to make the trade with the Saints. And it seems like Sean Payton has been trying to create this sort of notion that it's going to be a mid to late first.
Yeah.
But then there's been other reporting that says that the Saints want two firsts, a similar deal to what happened with John Gruden.
Yeah.
Which, to me, if it's two firsts, if that's a price tag, then I don't see the Broncos. There's no way they could do that. Then again, I would think that Sean Payton is the one who's going to have to be negotiating this with the Saints, and because Sean doesn't want to go to a situation where he's just lost all of his picks. So, like, it's just sort of, there's so many layers to this thing that makes the whole Sean Payton situation very interesting to me.
Yeah, and, you know, Mickey Loomis said last week, I got to do what's right for the New Orleans Saints. I got to get the most out of this trade. So, of course, the Saints are going to put out to a New Orleans beat writer, Jeff Duncan, respected guy down there, saying that, hey, the Saints are going to want two first-round picks. Of course, that's what they're going to say, right?
They're leveraging both sides.
You want three first-round picks. You want four. You want as much as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's what the deal ultimately is going to be. And it probably doesn't help the Saints that Sean Payton went out and said, hey, it's going to be a mid to late first round pick.
That's what I'm saying. They're both using their sides to try and make this thing come to a nice resolution. Because at the end of the day, it seems like to me, Sean Payton holds the cards here because he could just be like, fine, just pay, I just won't coach and you'll just lose all these this opportunity.
Yeah, of
course. You know
what I mean? So, yeah. And hey, I'll do this next year. And
yeah.
My value will be worth less, and you won't get a first-round pick at all. You'll get a fourth-rounder or a fifth-rounder or something.
Exactly.
So, the Broncos have to decide, and the Saints have to decide what's worth it. I do agree with you. Two first-round picks seems steep, especially, Phil. You know, we're all hopeful that a new coach comes in here. Sean Payton comes in here. If he's the guy, turns this thing around quickly. The Broncos are competing for a wild-card spot. But I think after this past year, you cannot rule out that things don't go the way you want again.
Yeah, of course. You have to have that be part of it.
You have to think about a worst case scenario here. And so what happens if you go 5-12 again under, you know, for the first time, and now for the second year in a row, you're giving up a top 10 pick. I think that to me, so if you were looking at two first round picks, there's a possibility you would give up your, it's probably going to be like the 28th, 29th late first round pick.
So compared to our guy Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
So he's balling like that. It's going to be 31.
So that compared to giving up that and next year's first round pick, if that's a top 10 pick, that's a really steep price to pay. And so I would think if you were the Broncos, you'd want to get through this year, just say, okay, well, we already, you know, we kind of planned to not have a first round pick this year when we traded for Russell Wilson. We happened to get one back when we sent Bradley Chubb to Miami. If you can make things, something happen with just that pick and then move forward and say 2024, we're out of the woods. We don't have these restrictions with picks anymore. Yeah, we're back to normal. I think you're in a good place. But yeah, two first round picks to me, it just sets you back
another year.
And, you know, there's guys that are going to have to get paid here. You know, if Russell Wilson does turn it around, you want to make the most of this window. You know, if not, you want to be able to figure out, hey, what's next for us at the quarterback position. So a lot of,
you're going to want that pick.
Exactly. And listen, a coach can be worth a lot, I think. And if Sean Payton were to come here, he's shown from his time in New Orleans, 7 division titles, a Super Bowl title, a lot of playoff appearances, obviously. You can see, you know, you can easily see what he can do for an organization. He took the New Orleans Saints and along with Drew Brees, took that team from being very unsuccessful to having, you know, it's the longest period of sustained success in franchise history.
Yeah.
And so he can be very valuable, but you also, if you have a coach and no players, or you can't find a way to get a right tackle at some point, or you can't find a way to get another edge rusher, or you can't find a way to,
this team needs talent.
Exactly. This is not just a coaching problem. And yes. I think we saw toward the end of the year, Phil, when Jerry Rosberg stepped in, that coaching matters.
Bruised.
And you can be better and you can win football games just based off an identity and playing a physical style of football, but you still need good players. And when you look at the teams left in the playoffs, Phil, I mean, the reason Brock Purdy is playing so well and you know, hats off to him because he is playing at a high level, but it helps when you've got George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey there.
And Kyle Shanahan.
And Trent Williams. Yeah, so, yeah, of course, Kyle Shanahan. But
yeah, it kind of works both ways with the 49ers.
They've got a lot of talent.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, because Brock Purdy has been playing really well, but everybody's just like, hey, Kyle Shanahan is doing an amazing job there with him. And yes, I think both, like, it's just both have to be true to be playing at that level. Really good coaching and really good players.
Yeah. I mean, in no disrespect to Brock Purdy, but I think if you dropped him in
to a different
several
situation.
Other situations, this would not be happening.
True.
I think the talent around him and the fact that Kyle is doing what Kyle does is setting him up for success. But you still need that talent around him. And, you know, you look at the Bengals, really good football team, but can they withstand all these injuries to their offensive line?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is. Doesn't matter how good your play caller is. At some point, you just got to have the guys.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about this Sean Payton trade, if that's what ends up happening, the Broncos have to find this kind of middle ground with the Saints where you're not giving up too much that you're removing all chances of success.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, giving up enough to make it happen. And luckily, Phil, I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's like a bidding war with the Panthers. I don't think the Panthers are going to say, okay, well, you can have both our first round picks and the Broncos only have this late first round pick, because like you said, Sean Payton has to want to go here. So I don't think he's just going to say, I'll go to whatever team gives the Saints the most. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
So I think what's going to happen here is he's going to interview over the next, you know, I think he's got one more interview left. Maybe.
That's what I think so, yeah.
Carolina, I think, on Friday.
Yep, and the Broncos are continuing their process, too.
Yeah, and then next week, obviously, if the Broncos were to bring him back in, I think he'd go through this process and then decide, okay, well, hey, I want to coach Arizona, or I want to coach Houston, or I want to coach Carolina, I want to coach Denver. And then once you make that decision and the Broncos decide, okay, hey, we want Sean Payton, then you finalize the compensation. And the only sticking point, Phil, is what happens if Sean Payton says, okay, I want to go to Denver, and Denver says, okay, I want Sean Payton, and then you talk about the compensation, and the Saints say, we're only doing this if you give us two first-round picks. Then it gets sticky, because if you're Denver, you say, okay, we don't want to do this, but we don't want to lose our guy. Or do you just say, okay, we're backing out, and we're going to move on to somebody else? That's when, Phil, this process could drag out and maybe get a little bit dicey. But
I do think that it won't even ever get to that spot. I don't think it'll ever get that late. I think that, like, all of the parties will be in communication almost. Like, I don't think it's just a Broncos Payton situation removed from the Saints. Like, I think Sean is communicating a lot with the Saints and saying, here's what is going to happen here. And I think that they're leveraging both sides, and then I think ultimately the Broncos will be like, we're willing to do this to get Payton. And then if it's like they're not even close, then I think they'll just back away.
Right. But what if that doesn't happen until, say, next Wednesday?
Yeah. I would just hope that it's a little bit understood at this point. Like, hey, the talks with the Broncos are really serious here. They're on board for this much. Like, are we all in agreement here? And if they're like, no, then it's like, okay, they'll move on.
Yeah. Like, well, and anything there would have to be, at this point, not public, because what it sounds like is that they're not on this.
Yes.
I mean, we haven't seen anything that
publicly leverage each other, but.
Right. But if they're still trying to publicly leverage each other, then that would make it sound like there's not an agreement in place.
Yeah.
And so then you would get to the point where, you know, are we waiting for the last till the last minute for this to come together? And then if it doesn't come together, now you've got to hope that maybe this is next Wednesday, next Thursday. Now you got to hope that, okay, well, Dan Quinn doesn't decide, hey, I'm going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, exactly.
Or David Shaw, who, you know, Mike Kliss reported is a strong candidate.
Yeah.
Doesn't say, actually, I'm going to take a year off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you're really kind of up a creek.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So you've got to.
That would not be a good situation.
This is just tricky here, because it's not just about, you know, people are like, oh, well, if Sean wants to go to the Broncos, it's a done deal. No, the Broncos have to want Sean Payton. Sean Payton has to want to go to the Broncos. And then the Saints have to be willing to talk.
Sign off on it.
Because they might say, you know, hey, we don't care if we don't get as much next year. We're not willing to give up Sean Payton for one first round pick. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And listen, it might.
That would be crazy.
It would be a little bit crazy, but I think it's something that you could just get to that point and you can't make a deal work.
Yeah.
And listen, Mickey Loomis is not going to just bend over backwards for the Broncos and
it's in their best. It's in their best interest, though, to sort of play ball. If you ask me, you know, it just makes sense. Like, look, the Broncos are willing to give you a first round pick. Maybe they go back and forth, and maybe you have to add in a third or a fourth or something in addition. I think then you like. I think you just got to be willing to play ball and just sort of come to a best case situation here. I think that's what has to happen. The interesting thing to me, Eric, is like, you know, Sean Payton's resume. I'm assuming the Broncos have done a lot of homework on them. I think that if you hear what you want to hear from him in a meeting, you know, if he answers your questions right, maybe you follow up, you have some more questions and you have another one. I think then you got to be like excited about. I guess what I'm saying is, like, if they heard what they wanted to hear in that interview this week, then I think that ball's got to be rolling. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you're going to be going down that path.
Yeah,
you know?
But I do think you've got to, and they are, they've kept these scheduled interviews. You've got to go through these interviews just in case, hey, you hear something from D'Amico Ryans that blows you away, from Dan Quinn that blows you away, because, you know, the Broncos interviewed Dan Quinn last year, but Greg Penner has not interviewed Dan Quinn. And so he's got to, I think, for himself, go through this process. And also, I do think you need to have, you know, you don't want to call a coach that has been to a Super Bowl before like a safety net, but I do think you have to have a backup plan here in case, you know, Sean Payton could be your guy, but if you don't have a backup plan in case this trade stuff falls through, or you get to a point where the Saints say, listen, we're just not doing this. You know, we, at a principle, we don't think it's right that he's going to retire and then go to another team a year later. And if he wants to do that, it's going to cost serious draft capital. And if, you know,
how much would you give up for, if you're the Broncos? What would you like? What, first of all, what do you think a guy like Sean Payton could do? Like, what kind of turnaround here are we talking about?
Well, I mean, in New Orleans, they had an incredible turnaround.
Yeah.
I think they went from 3-13 to 13-3. Swanson?
To me, he's the kind of guy who would just, he would come in here and he'd hit the ground running, and the feeling in the building would be like night and day. Like, it would be just a complete 180, if you ask me. Like, just, especially from what the Broncos have experienced the last several hires here, first-time guys, he would be like, this is how we do this. This is how we do this. Here's what the standard is. Just like, it would just be such a shake-up to the building.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I just think that, like, that kind of a change can go a long way for this team.
Oh, of course. And I do think there would be questions just in terms of still how does he work with Russell Wilson? You know, what offense are they going to run? Is Sean Payton going to run the offense he's always run and have Russ fit into that? Is he going to do something that's, you know, more run heavy that maybe fits better with Russ's skill set?
You think that's being discussed in an interview?
Yeah, of course. It has to be.
And if that's being discussed, does that mean that George Payton is the one who's sort of dictating those things? Or is that a Greg Penner, do you think? Because sort of
dictating what?
Well, sort of my understanding is that, like, we talked about, like, Greg Penner's, like, business acumen and his ability to hire high-level executives previously. Yeah. Not necessarily getting into football X's and O's. And so, like, if the interview group is, you know, Greg Penner, Condoleezza Rice, George Payton, at least for his first one, is the discussion of what the offense looks like, is that who's signing off on, okay, I liked what I just heard here. Is that George saying, this is what I think the offense needs to be? Or, and Sean agreed with me? Or is that Greg being like, this is what I want the offensive identity to be? Because he's not really a football guy.
I mean, hard to know for sure, right? George is involved for a reason, which is that he has that football expertise. Condoleezza Rice has a lot of football expertise from her time working with the College Football Playoff. So I would say that maybe Greg looks to them, but that's purely speculation.
Yeah, I'm just speculating. We don't know this stuff.
But I do think Greg has been around this team long enough to see, okay, well, if you're going to put Russell into your system, how do you guarantee that works? Or why are you confident? And I think then, you can get things that even if you're not a football expert and you're not, you know, he's saying, oh, we're going to run a lot of more 12 personnel or, you know, we're going to 22 personnel. You know, Greg might not be kind of in it to that level, but I think you can still understand, well, hey, we're going to, you know, these are what I think Russell Wilson's strengths are. And these are what I think his weaknesses are. And so here's how we're going to get the most out of him. I think that someone who...
More conversational football terms.
Yeah, maybe you're not going into kind of the deep lingo, the jargon, but I think you can still understand, you know, the same way. I would assume that Greg Penner has at least the same football understanding that we do. And so we can understand what we think Russ does well and what he doesn't do well. And so I think Greg can sit there and listen and say, okay, well, yeah, that sounds like it would work. And you never know 100%, but I think you trust Sean Payton, who is an offensive proven guru. You know, yeah, proven, has had a lot of success, and honesty is important here. Hey, can you actually, and it's a different situation than Nathaniel Hackett found himself in, where he interviewed and you didn't know who the quarterback was going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas the Broncos know who the quarterback is going to be, so you can be a lot more specific in terms of the interview and how you're going to make things work and what your plan is. There's not this guessing game of, oh, it could be Aaron Rodgers, it could be Russell Wilson, it could be Drew Locke, it could be Teddy Bridgewater. You know, that a lot of more unknowns when you were doing that interview.
Yeah. No, Sean, if he agreed to join forces here with the Broncos, he would be saying, I'm confident that I can work and have success with Russell Wilson. So,
yeah, no, I think the other element of this that Mike Kliss mentioned in his story is that it's possible Sean Payton gets roster control, which happens around the league. I believe that's how it was set up in New Orleans with Mickey Loomis. But that's also kind of a football decision that Greg Penner will probably have to make, because I would assume George Payton is not deciding who has roster control. I'm assuming that that's a Greg Penner decision.
Yeah. So how does the structure work? Who has these says? Who has the power?
And so when you put yourself at the forefront of a committee like Greg Penner has done, to, it doesn't matter if you don't plan to make kind of these minute football decisions during the season, you're going to have to make some football decisions here. And the plan was for him not to step in on that. But I think just the state of where the team was, he had to do it.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference between saying, okay, well, you're going to have roster control, or yeah, we feel confident about you working with Russ, versus like down the line being like in season, you know, like Alberto should be active.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy should start at left tackle. Yes. Once you pick these people and put them in place, let them work and let them do their job. But right now, Greg Penner is going to have to make some football decisions
here. Yeah. It's just sort of interesting thinking about who's in these meetings and then how into the weeds do they get, you know, and just like, hey, ultimately what is going to determine the success of this team is, are you getting the most out of Russell Wilson?
Yeah. And it's interesting because Mike Kliss reported that this interview with Sean Payton, Raheem Morris, about 2 hours.
Yeah.
We've seen interviews go 4 or 5 hours
all day
over these searches the last few years. So clearly there's a focus in terms of what they want to learn from these guys.
Don't waste time.
There might be, you know, we've heard that there could be kind of second visits to UCL Training Center. If that happens, maybe that's a chance for more follow-up for specific things. But it sounds like they're quickly, and that's probably a strength of Greg Penner's from his corporate experience of how do you weed through this stuff quickly and find out what's important.
Yep.
But, you know, in my opinion, it shouldn't take 5 hours to determine whether someone's the right fit.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're doing these interviews quickly. They're finding answers.
And with Sean, I would say what separates him from some of these other candidates is that he's also seeing if this is the right fit for him.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So he's probably got some questions for, you know, Greg Penner and just trying to understand what he's walking into here. So,
yeah.
Much more than a regular business job interview where you're like, you got any questions for me? And you're like, yeah, like what's the benefit package?
I mean, maybe at like our level, but I do think when you're hiring a CEO somebody's, like I would imagine when Damani Leach came in here as president of the Broncos, that he probably had a lot of questions about, hey, what's my role going to be? How am I going to be allowed to structure things? You know, can I influence these decisions? What I think at these high level roles, it's got to be a partnership. It's got to be a joint understanding of, you know, what the role is going to be, where, what are the checks and balances, what sort of influence do I have?
Interviewed with him. It's almost like that.
He's not picking the teams that he wants. Like, he's not like, I want to interview with the Chargers. Come here, Chargers. Come here.
It's interesting.
Come here.
Yeah, I don't know. What was that, Cy Swanson?
The stuff we have to deal with from you is...
You're the one who's in here.
Well, they demanded it. Yeah, not our choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Am I in here with you, or are you in here with me?
It kind of makes you think.
Wow. Yeah.
It really does.
Maybe you're on the podcast with Swanson.
I don't know.
Maybe it's Swanson's podcast and we just talk.
They misled us. Yeah, they make us feel like it's our podcast, but not really, you know, who knows?
Maybe we're the supervisors.
That's true. What does it mean?
That's a good question.
So just before we wrap up here on Peyton, what do you think is too much? What do you think is the right?
Yeah, two firsts is too much in my opinion.
I think so. I agree.
If you were to give a first and then a late day two, early day three pick next year.
What if it's a first and a third?
I guess you live with that.
I think that sounds like a nice middle ground.
I mean, you're going to get if you pick well, you can get a quality player with a third round pick.
Yeah, of course. You get Draymond Jones or Justin Simmons. You get somebody like that.
Greg Dulcich.
Yeah. Dulcich. There you go. You're welcome.
A Sir Lloyd Cushenberry III.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get someone like him.
So you're probably going to get a starter there, somebody that you intend to start. And so, listen, you only get so many picks. You only got so much room in the salary cap to go spend on free agents.
Is there value in a Sean Payton that you see with that? Does that equal that?
Yeah, I think it would. But that would be a deal where you could it's kind of like both teams would win there.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where you want a deal.
No,
be, right?
I would rather just win.
Oh, got it.
When I do a deal, I want to just win. Yeah. I don't want the other person to win.
Oh, got it. I see.
I want to win-lose.
Yeah. Yeah. I see.
Compared to a win-win-win.
Of course.
Right?
Who would all win in that?
Like, if you did a trade with, like, the Seahawks, you would want to win and have them lose.
Yes, but I think that around the league, you want your reputation to be like, this guy's a good business guy.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, I'd rather just the Broncos win.
Yeah. Looking back at the Seahawks one.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
I think undecided.
Yeah. Okay.
Too soon to call.
Too soon.
Give us a year.
How about let's move on to topic number two here.
On the radar.
Not as important.
Above the candidate. Above the radar candidates.
The radar. David Shaw reportedly
right on the radar. Yeah.
In his meeting, a lot of people were just assuming maybe the Broncos were talking to David Shaw because of the Jim Harbaugh connection. And maybe they'd all just get together and have a win.
That's right. We'd all just hang out and just do a lot of winning.
Yeah.
There'd be so much winning.
Yeah.
You're going to get tired of winning.
Almost too much. But yeah. That's
not Johnson, you ever get tired of winning?
No.
You're losing right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, David Shaw, let's start there. He's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Took over a Stanford program from Jim.
Yep.
Did some really nice things. Things went a little bit...
Swanson, what kind of things did he do there?
What kind of things did he do?
Swanson's watching a movie.
Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see. They went to 8 consecutive bowls. Starting in 2011.
Everybody goes to bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went to...
Pac-12 title games.
He went to three Rose Bowls.
That's three, Pac-12 titles,
Christian
right?
McCaffrey. Ask Josie Jewell about...
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, about that.
Yikes. Huh?
He was a four-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year. That's pretty good.
Against them Buffs?
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 double-digit win seasons.
Pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Things
impressive resume there.
Things tailed off a little bit at the end, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Not so good starting in 2019. They had
kind of like
a 4-win season and a couple 3-win seasons. And I'm excluding the COVID season where they only played six games.
Smart.
I will say the way that college football is structured nowadays puts Stanford at a notable disadvantage.
Of course, the NIL, the transfer portal, it's harder to recruit and develop and get guys in your program. And certainly David Shaw, I think, was a good example of getting guys there, developing them into talented players. A lot of NFL guys ended up coming through
Stanford. In a normal sort of a college situation, to me, like Stanford would be like a dream, right? Like you can play Pac-12 Division I football and also get a Stanford education.
Is the Pac-12 still D1?
Wait until this year, my friend.
Okay.
The Pac is going to knock your socks off.
It's going to be so back.
How
back is the Pac?
There is so many good teams coming this season in the Pac-12.
And also leaving.
USC, Utah.
They're so good they're leaving.
Oregon. They're going to be really good, the Pac-12. UCLA, these are the CU. No,
CU could get all the way to five wins.
I'll hold off on the CU, but I do think that the Pac-12 is going to be really good. Washington, I mean, come on.
We're off on
Oregon State. Oregon State. The Pac-12 is going to be really good. Anyway, I would say, though, if you were like,
are you done?
Just a high school kid coming out. If you got an offer to Stanford, why would you turn that down? Stanford education, high level Division One. Division One football.
So you just said the same thing you just said, but in the other order.
I'm trying to reiterate this here. Can't handle this. I wonder why. Sometimes I wonder like why I do this. You know what I mean? Why I do this with you guys. But nowadays, like the landscape has just changed so much that it makes it really difficult for them to have success. And it's possible that David Shaw just said, look, I had a lot of success here. I did everything that I can do at Stanford. And so it's just time for me to sort of bow out.
Yeah. And he's a guy that has always been considered this leader of men. He develops players. Rock solid guy, you know, like strong character. He's a great face of a college program, great recruiter. I think those are all things that you look at with David Shaw and think, man, hey, you know, most college programs, I think, would look at him and say, I'd take him in a second. I think the question is, does that relate? Can that translate to the NFL? And
if you go to a bowl game in the NFL, that's nice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Broncos went to a Senior Bowl game a few years ago. That was good, right?
No, I'm not talking about that kind of bowl.
Not that bowl.
Not that bowl.
Shrine Bowl?
Nope, not that one either.
Mm. Which one? Pro Bowl?
No.
NFLPA Collegiate
Bowl. Yeah. So one of the like six bowls.
But he was a longtime NFL assistant. Like he had a lot of success too as an assistant coach.
There of course is a difference between succeeding as an assistant and succeeding as a head coach. And not that I don't doubt that he could do it. I just think, again, it's uncertain.
Exactly.
And I think this goes back to when you look at first-time head coaches, there's a lot of things you have to learn in terms of the structure and how do you put a practice schedule together and what do you do for training camp and all this stuff. And David Shaw definitely has a leg up there because he's done it for so long as a head coach. But there are a lot of differences between college and pro, and you're not going as hard in a pro training camp as you are in college. And you're not dealing with the same meeting restrictions that you are in college, and you're not recruiting, and you've got to deal with big personalities in a way that you don't have to deal with in college. And I'm just guessing that some of the guys that you deal with in the NFL might be a little bit different than the guys you deal with at Stanford. And so you've got to, as a coach, you've got to.
You just said there was a lot of NFL guys coming out of Stanford, but yes.
Well, yeah.
The financial part of it, you're not the sort of the king, you know.
And I also don't think of like guys coming out of Stanford as like there's not a lot of divas.
Yeah.
You deal with some divas at the NFL level.
That's true.
Or hey, you know, guys in.
You got to manage the personalities.
Guys in Baltimore right now are talking all sorts of.
Yes. How do you control
nonsense in the locker room? How do you deal with that when. In college football, your players talk once a week if you decide they talk.
And the Baltimore thing is really interesting because John Harbaugh is such a veteran head coach. And like the culture has been so established there, even a guy like that is having a hard time managing some of these situations.
So, while I think that David Shaw is a great coach and I think it could work here, it's just a question of, are you willing to take a chance again on an unknown? And we've talked a lot, Phil, about the value of having someone who's done this before, who knows exactly what they're doing. And David Shaw's kind of in that middle ground right now where it is still a little bit of a projection. And so if you're Greg Penner, if you're George Payton, Condoleezza Rice, Kerry Walton-Penner, Rob Walton, and you're making this decision, you've got to decide, hey, are we comfortable with making a projection? And it's possible that they are. And listen, they probably know David Shaw well. Certainly Condoleezza Rice does from the Stanford connection. So she could say, hey, I've got all the faith in the world that David Shaw, I've seen from him that he can do this.
Yeah.
And it's possible that you could hire him and he could be tremendous. I think there's a good chance that you could hire David Shaw and he could be a really good NFL head coach. And people would, because he's had NFL interest before.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like a few years ago, before 2019, when Stanford was really rocking and rolling, he was getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
And he just never jumped at it. But
and there's a possibility that you could hire him and people could end up saying, why wasn't he an NFL coach a long time ago?
Yeah.
You know, he's got everything we want.
It's just not certain right now.
It's just not certain. And so I do think that in terms of these final three guys are, you know, that Mike Kliss has suggested are kind of that big three at the moment, which is Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, David Shaw. David Shaw is the unknown a little bit from that group.
Yeah. In terms of unproven, he's known, but unproven, you know.
Yeah. Unknown at an NFL head coaching level.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that you just would have to be willing to go through whatever growing pains he would have adjusting. And maybe that's not that much. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe who knows what that would look like. You just don't know.
Right. So,
now, you're projecting a little.
He does seem like he's got that positive mindset, which I could see kind of working with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Greg Penner decides, hey, we're going to hire David Shaw, I would imagine that David Shaw would get a more extended period of time to, you know, at least a couple of years to figure out, hey, is this going to work? It's not going to be a one and done situation, even if it doesn't go well.
It could also be like, hey, a David Shaw, you would have confidence in him coming in and instilling a culture.
Yeah.
You know, and like saying, I think if that was like really a top priority, I think David Shaw could come in and do that just because he's ran the ship before. It's just been at a college level, you know, so.
And there is something to be said for coaches that succeed at a place like Stanford, where if you can do it with that level of talent, our guy Fitz, of course, before the dark years.
Would you say like Northwestern is sort of like a Stanford? Is that what you're trying to say here?
Yes, I would say that.
Really?
Yeah. Would you not say that?
I already decided not to comment on this.
Interesting. I would say that, yeah, they are the same.
You would?
Yeah. They compete for the same way. They're like Duke. Those schools are kind of the same. Power Five.
Do you think like a Duke, a Northwestern, and a Stanford are the same?
Yeah. In terms of what you're dealing with there.
Yeah.
And so like David Cutcliffe, the fact that you succeed at Duke with not the same level of talent that that a North Carolina gets.
To just get.
He's not there anymore.
And well, I know he's not there, but just he succeeded there for a long time.
Yeah. He knows Peyton Manning. Okay.
You know, Carolina just got all these recruits coming in. They don't play well.
They reload.
Yeah.
They don't have to rebuild.
No.
Yeah.
I like that when you're doing more with less.
Yeah.
As opposed to you look at some coaches and it's like, okay, well, you're winning.
Like a Nick Saban. I mean, what does he even do? He's just got all the talent. Good point. You know what I mean? Point. I don't like that.
Yeah. He's only won like 19 national championships. Yeah, what is that?
I wouldn't like it.
Yeah. But I think you look at like Urban.
Oh.
He did a lot with a lot.
He did.
And then
It didn't work.
Didn't work.
Yeah. It didn't work. But I wouldn't compare Urban Meyer and David Shaw.
I think I was saying they were about as different as it could possibly be.
Yeah. I do think that he could come in and develop a culture here.
Urban Meyer?
David Shaw.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Would be a culture.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. Urban's culture would just be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
But there would be some learning and trying to manage different situations that he didn't have to do that at Stanford. So, What about a Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, a good candidate. And I think once you get to David Shaw and Dan Quinn, the fan base is going to be, some people are going to be really receptive and some people are going to have questions or not be thrilled about the choice.
Yeah, safe does not equal really excitement from the fan base.
Yeah, and I don't even know if safe is the right word, more like just there's no like spark to it, or there's no like there's no buzz, or not as much buzz.
Yes.
And
safe. I mean, I think that I would consider Dan Quinn a sort of a safe.
Yeah, Dan Quinn maybe. David Shaw, I'm not sure I would say safe just because there's an unknown factor there. But
yeah.
But yeah, you're not gonna make crazy headlines. Like if you were to get Sean Payton, the Broncos would, despite how they played last year, I still think get some good national TV
good buzz
spots. People would be talking about all offseason, hey, can Sean Payton turn this thing around? You've got Andy Reid and Sean Payton in the same division, two offensive minds, Josh McDaniels, you know.
I think Andy Reid is actually good. That's sort of an interesting thing because, like, when he came in, like, he just changed everything with Kansas City, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe Sean Payton could do a similar type of thing here.
But I don't think when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, I think there was some skepticism because of how things ended in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Obviously never won a Super Bowl, had the clock man, kind of used to hear with Andy Reid, like clock management. Funny how when you get Patrick Mahomes, you don't worry about that anymore. It's like 10 seconds. Who cares?
Go. Yeah.
Who cares if we call a timeout?
Yeah.
So with Sean, I think there'd be all that buzz. If it were Dan Quinn, there might not be that buzz. But the bottom line, Phil, is if you win in the fall or you get this team back to a good place, it doesn't matter how much buzz there is in January or February or March. It matters what do you do when you get to the season. And I think Dan Quinn would still be very capable of helping this team, setting a standard, building a culture, having an identity.
It's kind of like a John Fox type of sort of move.
Yeah, just get an adult in here and get things back on the tracks. I think Dan Quinn would work really well with George Payton. We know Greg Penner respects George Payton. So to kind of have that partnership there, you could find some stability probably in your front office and at your head coaching position. And Dan Quinn, of course, had some success in Atlanta, got to a Super Bowl. You know, people say, including me, think, oh, okay, well, once Kyle Shanahan left, they didn't have as much success. They still, I think, believe made the playoffs after Kyle Shanahan was gone and won a playoff game. And so it's not like things just collapsed without Kyle Shanahan. Dan Quinn was still a quality head coach, and things just didn't work out there in Atlanta at the end. But as we talk about with any of these guys, Phil, if you're a second-time head coach or third-time head coach, it's because you've been fired somewhere. And that's just what happens in this league is guys lose jobs and then they go back and they succeed elsewhere. But yeah, Dan Quinn, he's a player's coach. He would be a very steady, strong choice as well.
I think the thing with Dan is you'd have to know what his plan is for the offensive side. You know, like who are you going to bring in? Who's going to run that side? Who's going to work with Russ? Obviously, Dan knows Russ, but who knows what that relationship is like just because he was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. So it would just be sort of like I'd have more questions about what his plans were there, you know, in terms of a staffing and just sort of how he would want to operate.
You'd have to have the same questions with David Shaw, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's an offensive guy and so.
Yeah, but who's the staff?
Yeah. Is he going to call plays? You know, is Dan Quinn going to call defensive plays?
Yeah. Shaw's staff actually, but that's a sort of an interesting thing, you know, just because who does he know like around the NFL strongly that could come in and work with him?
Yeah. I mean, that's with any of these guys, who can you bring in that's going to work well and make things happen here?
Yeah.
But yeah, with Dan, you're right. The offensive plan, we heard Greg Penner in the end of season press conference say that offensive identity has to be part of the decision. And so if you hire a defensive minded head coach, that's not disqualifying by any means, but you have to have a plan. And so I'm sure when they meet with him, reportedly going to be on Friday, that they go in depth there and say, okay, well, who are you going to hire? If that person falls through, who do you get? Because I think one of the things that happened with Nathaniel Hackett is when he was putting his staff together, we saw all these reports of, oh, they want Adam Stenovich from Green Bay. They want Luke Getsy. It didn't happen. Justin Outen comes in. I'm sure at other position coaches, the same thing likely happened. And so what do you do when plan A doesn't go exactly the way you want? And so that's got to be a conversation with Dan Quinn, with David Shaw, Sean Payton, any of these guys. If you can't get exactly who you want as your defensive coordinator or your offensive coordinator, what's plan B? What's plan B? What's plan C over here? What's, you know?
Yeah, like if you can't get Vic Fangio, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You got to have answers.
You got to have answers because things aren't perfect in the NFL. And things, it's all about how do you handle adversity. And we hear that a lot, like once you get to the season, but it's also about how do you handle adversity when you can't get the coach that you want, or you can't, you know, you lose a player to injury, or, you know, there's a bunch of other things that that happen outside of the season that are critical that you respond to in the right way.
Yeah. What do you think about the structure in terms of the organization? Because with Sean Payton, it feels like the structure would be different than with like a Dan Quinn, you know, and just in terms of how everything operated.
Yeah. I mean, well, it sounded like from the press conference that, the coach is going to report to Greg Penner regardless, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of decided. So it'll be more the last decision is who has roster control. And you're right. I would think that with Sean Payton, based on what Mike's reported, that Sean would probably end up with final roster control or at least have a really big say in that. Whereas I could imagine a world where if it's David Shaw or Dan Quinn, that George Payton would retain roster control. And those guys would kind of work with George to determine some of these decisions. That's just a guess, but I think Sean maybe has earned that a little bit because you've seen it work again.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to, what do you know works? What have you seen work? What is not just speculation or projection or, you know, a guess? And so you've looked at Sean Payton, you've seen, okay, well, it works when he makes these roster decisions. He can build a division championship team.
Yep.
And listen, they beat the Saints twice, or excuse me, beat the Bucks twice, right? When Tampa went to the Super, I think this was the first year that Tampa Tampa beat the Saints. And so Sean Payton did not have as talented of a team, but it was able to go in and beat a Super Bowl contender twice. I think if you're the Broncos, you look at the Chiefs and you say, okay, well, Sean's not just going to come in here and the Broncos are going to be guaranteed two losses against the Chiefs every year.
I was going to say that would come in handy when Tom Brady's with the Raiders.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That could be really nice.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Makes you think.
It does.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to say about the coaching situation right now?
It's interesting that I understand why they're doing it. I just would kind of reemphasize there's a balance here between taking your time and getting all this information and interviewing everybody and bringing people back in. And just like you said, once you know, go.
Yeah.
So that you don't lose out on who you want. And I think it's a little bit different. If you want Dan Quinn and everybody else is competing for him, you might have to move a little bit faster. If it's David Shaw, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think David Shaw's only interviewing with the Broncos.
I've not heard his name out there.
And so you probably got a little more time if you want it to be David Shaw. If you want it to be Sean Payton, I also think you have a little bit more time because
it does seem like he's mostly interested.
And there's a process here, right? Where like
with the Saints,
he can't just today agree to the Panthers. Hey, I'm going to go coach the Panthers without there also being the Saints element in there. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see how quickly things move. I'll be interested to see when do the Broncos kind of pounce at the person that they want. And I'll be really interested who knows if this even gets out there. I would imagine it would. If the Broncos try to get something done with Sean and they can't because of trade compensation, then things get really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
interesting in a bad way.
Yes. I would agree.
Just to clarify.
Yes. You would not want that to get out there. And then have to sort of like...
That would get out there though, right?
Yeah, and then have backtrack and be like, I guess we'll just end up hiring.
I can't see a world where...
That would not be good.
Where the Broncos decide Sean Payton's their guy and they start to meet with the Saints and then it just never gets out there that they...
Yeah, you just wonder...
That would be surprising.
You wonder if some of that's gone on already.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and we haven't heard anything about it, so...
It's also possible that something happened with Jim Harbaugh and we just didn't hear about
it. Something happened. Possible.
Possible that something happened.
Yeah, so it is.
There's your reported update.
I do think that, something happened. I do think, just like from my perspective...
one of my favorites.
Bringing in a guy like Sean Payton would I think we're talking about like two different worlds here. You know what I mean? Like you bring in a guy like Sean Payton, like I think things are, you're like got like a guy, you know what I mean? Where you're like, you're just sort of like in a different situation. It would be like Mike Shanahan walking around the facility. You know what I mean? Like you would have somebody like of high stature league, you know what I mean? Like his reputation around. I think that David Shaw would have a similar sort of just, you know, you'd be like, oh, there's David Shaw, but not to the same extent. You know what I mean? Like, I just think Sean Payton would be like a different
David Sean Payton
situation. Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you. My only cautionary tale is that that was Winnie Swanson. It is.
Cautionary tale.
We thought the same.
Swanson's good for just going like this. you're like, oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. You like that?
You cut the last one out. I'm going to turn your mic off. Stop making noises. You're scaring the audience. We thought when Russell Wilson came in.
All right.
You did? We thought when Russell Wilson came in that he was going to transform the building. And I think in a lot of ways he did in terms of the attitude and the mindset of guys and like the way things went during the offseason. Like I do think Russell Wilson transformed the place, but it didn't result in wins. And yeah. So at the end of the day, you can hire Sean Payton and you can, you know, talk about the division titles and the Super Bowl trophy and all the success he's had. That's all great. And there will be more buzz going into next year. You still got to find a way to win. And until that happens, you know, I think a lot of fans will reserve judgment probably fairly after the way the last
buzz is not everything. But I would say that unlike Russell Wilson, a head coach coming in is going to say he's dictating the terms. Here's what practice is going to look like.
Russell Wilson dictate the terms?
He didn't say no starters are playing in the preseason. He didn't say, hey, we're going to have a light training camp. He didn't dictate all of those things.
He said a lot. He said, wait, we're going to go to San Diego and we're going to have workouts. We're going to have early morning walkthroughs all the time. I mean,
I think a head coach is in more control of what the vibe and feel is like.
All I'm saying is that the Broncos got a quarterback last year and everyone said, we talked about, hey, a good season would be going to the divisional round and maybe getting to the AFC championship.
Yes.
And then the Broncos had 5 wins.
I would not buy into the buzz the same way ever again.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. I've just been hurt. Be careful of the buzz.
Yeah.
Because
I'm incapable of love.
You got to show on the field. It can be great. And people can say, oh, Sean Payton changed everything. I mean, that's what you're going to hear from players, right? Oh, hey, Sean, he's got the Super Bowl experience. It's, you know, it's different around here. We got a coach, we're going to play offense the way we should. This defense is going to play at the same level. I'm going to come back 10 pounds lighter. And I'm going to, you know, the same stuff you hear every offseason from every team.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Yes, of course. You heard me once. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Heard me twice. Strike 3.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Never again. All right. Any shout outs, Eric? We don't have any voicemails or emails this week.
No. That's sad.
I think there was a problem with the voicemail machine.
Swanson screwed something up.
There's a.
Well, just send in one. We'll see if we get it.
Yeah. 707 neutral. 707 neutral.
Yeah.
neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. @ Eric Dalala with an A, @ Phil Milani with a PH.
Non-traditional.
Those are non-traditional.
Yep.
Or @ Denver Broncos if you're feeling crazy.
Don't do that.
Shout out to Jokic.
Thank you. That's what I normally do, but yes.
I'm on board.
Most definitely.
Give him a third MVP.
You know what? I don't want to hear voter fatigue. I don't want to hear it. Back-to-back 30-point triple-doubles. Eric.
Who?
Yeah. Nikola Jokic.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. That's your fault. That's your problem.
Is that the Denver Sports Serbia thing?
You should just appreciate greatness.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I think I'm at that point now where I'm just like,
are you at the point where like, how well he's playing now? You're kind of like, okay, enjoy this. He should be the MVP this year, but maybe he didn't deserve it 2 years ago.
No, he deserved everything he's gotten.
He's worked for it all.
He's playing even better now.
Right. So maybe this should be the only one. Maybe they should redact the two.
Do you know what I don't like it in the NBA where it's like always just so much, well, what about Embiid? What about this? Blah, blah. Let's just appreciate this guy. We're all able to watch greatness. Do you know what I mean?
I thought if you live in Denver, you can't.
Let's not hate.
I thought part of the problem anymore was you can't watch greatness, right?
I watch it on ESPN and TNT.
But not the other games, right?
When I can, I watch.
Let's appreciate not greatness. Watching greatness.
I'm just trying to say, let's just remove the hate part of this and just say, look, this guy is
asking questions.
Well, there's a lot of hate around him, or there has been for a long time. And I'm just sort of sick of that now. I just want to appreciate.
You should start a basketball podcast.
That we are all alive during a time when he plays basketball.
Wow.
Where's
this energy for LeBron?
There should be that.
No one has more hate for LeBron than you.
What?
Lives up in your hair. That's why it's so big.
It's not true.
Full of hate.
I appreciate everything he's done and I enjoy watching him play this sport.
Got to be the.
That's where I'm at.
All-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Soon.
LeBron. Yeah. Let's just appreciate that this guy's still playing.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out LeBron.
Yeah. Any other?
One of our listeners, Bo. Shout out to Bo.
Big fan of the show.
Yep.
Shout out, Bo.
Yeah, Liz Gerald's.
Liz Gerald's doing some nice stuff in the community. There was a MLK parade.
Yeah. Phil, you and I were there?
Yep.
Ben, I didn't.
I was there.
Oh, that's I did oh, hear yeah, a little yeah, like yeah. In the back.
So yeah, kind of a murmur.
That's it. I'm not laughing anymore in the podcast. Phil, make a joke?
Nope. Silence. That's what I'm used to.
Shout out to Zohair.
Another fan who listens all the time, Bella.
Shout out.
Shout out, Bella. Big fan. So a couple of fans. Would be nice to get some voicemails.
That would be nice.
But
anybody else?
We'll do those shout outs. Jokic was pretty good for me. Yeah, just every
that was nice.
Weekly standing on this show.
That's true.
And Nikola Jokic. How about the Avs too, huh? They're coming around.
Couldn't tell you.
It's starting to turn.
Tell you.
They beat Calgary this week.
Wow.
They beat, I think it was Ottawa earlier in the week.
No.
I think they're starting to get healthy.
Declaring war on Canada.
Things are starting to, you doubt a Stanley Cup champion and then they show their greatness, you know?
Is that a saying?
I just said it.
Yeah. That normally means it's not a saying.
That's true. That is true. Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. We'll be back next Thursday. Who knows? We might
have a coach.
Sean might be right in here with us. David Shaw might be in here.
Dan Quinn.
Swanson next week. Dan Quinn right here. Or maybe Swanson too.
Yeah. It'll just be Swanson.
And it could just be Swanson. Who knows? Really hard to tell.
Really.
But we'll be back next Thursday.
You betcha.
It'll be an exciting week.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. Until then, for Ben Swanson and Eric Daw, I'm Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.